The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, Contessas. Welcome to the Career Contessa podcast, your shortcut to being more fulfilled, healthy, and successful at work. I'm your host, Lauren McGoodwin. Today, we're learning how to craft better emails for busy readers with Jason Pfeiffer. He's the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine and a person who gets a lot of emails each day. We'll discuss the missed opportunity of sending a bad email, tips for delivering your email so that the sender actually wants to respond, and why Jason believes in the power of responding to every email. And don't forget to take your time to rate, review, and subscribe. A little insider tip, one review equals about 1,000 new downloads, and that's the number one way that you can support our show so that we can be back here each week with amazing guests. And now, this is the Career Contessa podcast. Well, hi, Jason. Welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, so give us your elevator pitch of who you are, what you do, and one thing that stands out in a good email to you.
Okay, so who am I? What do I do? What stands out in a good email to me? Hi, I'm Jason Pfeiffer. I'm the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. I serve entrepreneurs in a lot of ways, but relevant to our conversation today, I am pitched nonstop. I get a deluge of emails all the time. And so that means there's a world of people competing for my attention. Not like I'm a super cool guy or anything, but I have the kind of job that people want things from me for. And so what I found that is most important that people do when they email me, and the thing that makes me want to respond the most, is that built into the email that they are sending me is an understanding of what I am looking for. Which means that the person who's reaching out has already done some work. And I will give you examples of what it looks like to have not done that work. But they have done some work. They understand, roughly speaking, the kinds of things that I'm interested in, kinds of things that I want to serve my audience. And they're anticipating that and they're giving it to me so that I can see how they are useful to me. And that's what cuts through.
Yeah, I think the key part is what's useful to you, right? I think that is absolutely, in a nutshell, important to keep in mind. What is kind of the current state of email communication? You know, before we got on, we were saying that email communication is not something that gets talked a lot about, and yet it's something we do constantly, and there are so many bad examples of it. So what's kind of the current state of that?
Yeah, well, I can only speak for what I see, but I feel like I see a pretty large crosscut of everything. You know, people are reaching out to me mostly for press, mostly because they want some kind of press coverage, but they also want all sorts of other things. They want to explore partnerships. They want a job. They want to write for the magazine. They want my advice. And I think in this conversation, we'll be drawing a lot from experiences that I've had of people pitching me things. But to be very clear for our broad audience here, what is happening inside of a pitch to a magazine is roughly the same thing that's happening in every other kind of email communication. So this is just a real proxy for everything else. What I am seeing, like, what's the state of email? The state of email is not strong.
It's a mess. A hot mess.
It is really a hot mess. I mean, let me give you an example and then we'll talk more broadly. Here is an actual email that was sent to me by an entrepreneur who's looking for coverage in Entrepreneur Magazine. All right, so the subject line is goals. And then this person writes, Jason, good afternoon. We just recently had a small article written about us in Forbes. However, my goal before 40, parentheses, now 39, was to be in Entrepreneur Mag. There is a lot more to our story than the Forbes article published. Would you be interested in writing a piece on us? Thanks again. Okay, Lauren, tell me anything about this person.
I have nothing. The fact that they're 39, that's pretty much the only thing I know. And that they've been in Forbes.
That they've been in Forbes and that they have a goal. Right. And look, that's wonderful. Congratulations on the piece in Forbes. I appreciate that Entrepreneur is your goal. But that's not useful information for me.
Yeah.
I don't run stories based on your goals. Right. Right? The thing is that here's the most important thing that we need to think about when we're reaching out to somebody. And this is absent in so much of the email that I get, which is why I say that the state of the of email communication is not strong. The first question that anybody asks about anything, the first question that you, dear listener, right now, asked at the beginning of listening to this podcast episode, and will continue to ask yourself over and over again as you decide whether or not to listen to more of this podcast episode, is this question: is this for me or is this not for me? It's really simple, right? Yep. When you're walking down the aisle at Whole Foods, that's what you're asking. Is this for me? Is this not for me? When you see a television commercial, is this for me? Is this not for me? When someone approaches you on the street, is this for me or is this not for me? You're always asking that question. And if you want to connect with people, if you want to send an email that someone is going to read and want to respond to, you have to anticipate them asking that question. And then you have to answer it functionally before they even ask it, which means that you need to know what they're looking for. And you need to be really clear about how you have that value. There are a lot of different ways you can do that. We will break it down. Most people do not do that. Most people instead just focus on what they want. That's what this person did. So much so that their subject line in that email was just goals. It's just what they want. And I mean, I don't know, I don't mean to be mean in saying it like this, but I don't care what you want because I care about what I want. And that's everybody, right? You listening to this right now, you care about what you want and you should. But when you reach out to somebody else, you have to understand and anticipate what they want.
Yes.
Because only when you deliver what they want, will you get what you want too.
You know, what's actually sad about this email too, is that you did open it and they did get your attention. And that is like 90% of the battle of getting someone to open it up and get their attention. And then they missed it. They just like totally missed it. It's also interesting because your style is very similar. I was a recruiter before running Career Contessa, and I basically say the same thing about resumes and interviewing. It's about what they want. You know, what does the interviewer want? What is the company looking for? So this is like an overall lesson that we're going to start with email, but like it does kind of go to many other parts of your career. I guess what, you know, we've kind of touched a little bit on this, but like, why does it matter that we learn how to be effective email communicators? I mean, now that there's text and Slack and social media, it's like, I think sometimes people think, oh, like email doesn't matter, or it's sort of dead, or at least it's not the best direct way to get in touch with somebody because nobody's paying attention to their inboxes anymore. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that it's important because it is the primary way to get a hold of people. It just is. Everything that you just listed is true, but in some way or another, those are all secondary ways of connecting with people. If you are connecting with someone by Slack, it is because some previous communication already happened. There was already a hiring of some kind. If you're texting with someone, you've already met them, but email is where most things are going to start. It is your primary entry point for most forms of connection. And that means you have to get it right. That's not to say that you have to be super formal about it, but it is to say that an email is oftentimes the starting point for important conversations, important connections, jobs, opportunities. And you need to think very, very seriously about what's in there, because that is often your only shot at someone's attention. I mean, Lauren, like you just said, that person got my attention. I opened the email. And once you got somebody for a split second, you have to answer. Again, just like, think of what I did, just to go back to what I said, like just to put this into real life. I opened that email. It said goals. I was just curious probably what it was going to say, but instantly my brain is going, is this for me or is this not for me? Is this for me or it's not for me? And very quickly it was clear, it's not for me. I don't know what to do with this. Aside from use it as an example. Which was actually kind of useful, but unfortunately not for that person.
Yeah, exactly. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it makes hiring all in one place so easy. Indeed connects you quickly to promising candidates and all the automated tools to help with screening, scheduling, and messaging. And if you need to do a virtual interview, it's as easy as clicking a link. No need to download new software and go through some unnecessary tech troubles just to be able to interview someone. Everything about Indeed is intuitive, quick, and they have great tools to keep everything organized. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the Career Contessa podcast, you will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Contessa. Just go to Indeed.com/Contessa right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Contessa. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Have you ever broken off an engagement? Did you bomb your SATs? Have you been fired for drinking on the job? Well, even if you haven't, I'm here to tell you that someone successful has. Hi, I'm Jenny Mullen. I'm a mom, a comedian, a New York Times bestselling author, and yes, a total failure. Whether you ruined your best friend's wedding, oops, or just have an unhealthy need to constantly compete with your younger and cuter sibling, this podcast will cover it. Join me each week as I talk to friends, comedians, celebrities, pet psychics, ex-boyfriends, and more. All the Fails is a podcast about failure in all its various forms.
How do we assess our own email communication skills? So like people who are listening to this who maybe think, you know, I'm a pretty decent email communicator. I respond somewhat quickly. Like those are the rules, right? Like urgency used to be sort of like the gold standard in email and then you were good at it. I feel differently about that. So let's talk about your opinions of how does someone assess if they're good at email communication or not?
All right. Well, we should probably break it out first. Should we talk about sending and then receiving? Because these are two different skills.
Yes.
So sending, I think what's really important is to read whatever you write. And this goes for email or anything. Read whatever you write from the point of view of the person who's receiving it. And then ask the critical questions that that person will. You can start with, is this for me or is this not for me? But you know, you can also ask some foundational questions like, who is this person? And do I know enough about this person to care? I found that this was the breakthrough insight that I had when I became an editor. When I was in my 20s, I became a magazine editor. And I think like many of us, when we start writing, we end up packing information in a way in which it makes sense to us, but it might not make sense to other people. And you have to take very seriously that gap. And you have to start reading the things that you're writing from the perspective of someone who knows nothing. Do they understand what you're trying to say? Do they find it compelling? You will be shocked at what you find. And once you start that process, it starts to push you towards, well, should I be a little clearer here? Should I be a little faster here? Is someone going to take the time to read this 3,000 word email that I wrote? Probably not. If I'm reading this from the perspective of them, I am bored and I'm out. So start to embody the person that you're reaching out to and you will see all your flaws. Now,
Go on. I was going to ask something about in relation to formatting that, but I want you to keep going because I feel like formatting is like further down in this question. So you keep going.
Okay, sure. Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to switch it and just say, what is it like to receive? And,
yes.
And I think, so first of all, I am a gigantic believer that one of the simplest and most powerful things that you can do is to respond to people. I cannot stress enough how incredibly valuable it will be for your career to respond to people. Saying that sounds stupid, right? It's like, of course you should, but people don't.
Yeah.
They don't. And I don't know why. Just a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I finished up the latest season of True Detective. And we had been, you know, as many people do, we were watching the show and then we would immediately go and read a recap of the show that like ran on Vulture or the New York Times or whatever to like see what we missed and kind of engage in the themes of the show. And we started to, throughout watching this season, we started to read one writer's work over and over. We thought it was very good. And when the season wrapped up, I looked that writer up and I just wrote an email just to say, hey, really good job. Like we just really enjoyed your analysis of this show. And that was it. That was the whole email. That person never responded to me. And I think that that is so short-sighted. I know that, of course, they got it. I mean, they got it. They didn't respond to me. And I think they didn't respond to me because maybe they don't think that they have to or something. But I am telling you that I have responded to thousands and thousands of people. I respond to every email. I respond to every DM. I respond to everything that everything that is not just purely transactional. I don't respond to sales emails. I don't respond to every publicist pitch. That's not possible. But like every personal email I respond to. And oftentimes a couple of things, one of a number of things happen. Number one is that person years later will tell me that they fill in the blank. They signed up for my newsletter. They bought my book. They attended a talk of mine. They did something because I responded to this email a long time ago and it made them feel good and connected to me and special. And they felt invested in me. That's number one. That's more passive. They disappeared into the ether, but they were following me. Number two, some opportunity or value came from it. People have hired me and paid me thousands of dollars for things because I responded to their email a while ago. And then they were interested in me. And then we developed a dialogue and then they reached out. It is the single most important thing that you can do. It's so easy and so simple. It doesn't have to be much. I wrote a nice, thoughtful email to that woman who wrote True Detective recaps. She could have simply written, "Thank you so much." I would have felt better about her. Possibly the next time that I was looking for a writer, because I hire writers, I'm in the business of hiring writers. The next time I was thinking about a writer who had needed some kind of cultural insights, I might have thought of her. Now, never thinking of her. Never. I kind of forgot her name already because she didn't respond to me. So it's just respond. It's so, so important. Respond with a thank you. Say thank you to everything. And you will open doors instead of shut them.
Yeah, that is really amazing advice. And I also have experienced the same thing at Career Contessa. Sometimes somebody will reach out with something and they're always like so amazed that we responded. And it's like, mm-hmm. I think especially in this day and age, it is so easy to ghost. And I mean, I see this all the time with the job search where people apply and it's like this black hole. And so like this feeling of the internet feels very not personal, black hole, easy to ghost. And so when you do get that, you really do stand out. Are you that one friend in your friend group that loves to treat yourself? It's okay. Honestly, we all do it. You know, you maybe go get a pedicure or opt for that extra 10-minute foot massage with green tea infused lotion, or maybe refuse to make the coffee at home because that fancy coffee shop is just right downstairs. Well, if you treat yourself to the top options with everything in life, why settle when finding a doctor? It is your health after all. Enter ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book tens of thousands of top-tier doctors, all with verified patient reviews. So don't settle. Go for the best and find the right doctor for you. With ZocDoc, you've got more options than you know. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. And these doctors will all have verified reviews from actual real patients. We're talking about booking appointments with tens of thousands of top-rated patient-reviewed, credible doctors and specialists. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, that are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. You can actually even score some same-day appointments. I've used ZocDoc numerous times and I actually tell everyone in my family about it and it's actually super convenient. My mom just used it to find someone that was really close, took her new insurance and she was specifically looking for a female doctor and ZocDoc just gave her the option. Super simple. Their mobile app also makes it really easy to book appointments on the go and you can see their real-time availability of so many different kinds of healthcare providers. So if you're nearby one that has availability in an hour, go hang out at a coffee shop and then go. So just go to ZocDoc.com/Contessa and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. So one more time, that's ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/Contessa. ZocDoc.com/Contessa. Another thing I was thinking about with your, in response to sort of like, who are you writing for? One of the things that I've started to do in my emails is apply the bluff tactic, which is a military tactic, which is bottom line up front, because I agree with you. I have oftentimes given too much context or said too much, and I get to the point at the very bottom. And it depends on who I'm talking to. But one of the things I've had to change about how I write an email, and I noticed this when I started reviewing them, I was like, I need to get to the point a lot faster. And then I heard of this tactic. And of course, now I'm obsessed with it. And the acronym just helps me. But it's the whole TLDR method also in real life. And I think your point about reading what you're writing from the point of view of like, they know nothing. Are they going to get it? And is it going to be for them? And like, probably getting to your point quickly. I think we've also gotten emails where you're like, this is a novel. I just opened it and I have to close it right away because my eyes hurt from looking at that. You know, so in terms of like assessing your own skills, I would also just like maybe encourage people like, what's the length of your email? You know, like, is it clear what you want from them? Because if it's hidden in a very long novel, like who is going to find that?
Totally. Can I just add to that? Because yes, that's such a valuable point. And for people who don't feel like they're good at that, like they're not good at getting to the point, here's what you do. Write it out the way that you would normally write it out and then rework it. Like get to the point at the bottom and now take the point at the bottom and bring it to the top and restructure a little bit so that it stays at the top.
Yeah.
Sometimes that happens to me all the time. Sometimes I write an email and frankly, I'm not exactly sure how I'm asking the thing that I'm asking. Right. But by the time I get to the bottom, I've got it. And then you bring it up to the top. You can also give people basically two emails in one, which is fine. I do that a lot, which is to say you start with the short version. You're like, you know, hi, I know you're busy. I'm going to give you the short version and the long version. Here's the short version. I'm looking for this and here's why. And it's like three sentences. And it's not, if you care about that, here's the long version. And then you get the,
yeah.
And then, you know, they get it or they don't get it. But this is also, I write this way. I didn't know that bluff acronym. It's great. I write this way in almost everything that I do now. And I find it to be critical in connecting with people and signaling my value to them, answering that question, is this for me, is this not for me? I just want to read you something, which is, I was thinking about this particular newsletter that I wrote in advance of our conversation here because, well, as you'll hear in a second. So I write this newsletter, just for context, I write this newsletter, it's called One Thing Better. Each week, one way to be more successful or satisfied at work and build a career company that you love. And I've built it fairly fast, which I feel very proud of, to like 50,000 subscribers so far. And I came up with this structure. And the structure is that it always opens up by stating the problem to the audience. And then we get to the solution by means of me telling a story and then usually getting to some exercise. And the first time I was writing these things, I would tell a story, I would get to an exercise, and then I'd get to the payoff. But I found that, you know, if somebody's reading the story and they don't know what the payoff is, they're not sure if they should read the story. Is the story worth my time? Where is this going? Like, you never want people to ask, where is this going?
Yeah.
So this is a newsletter that I wrote about communication. And I just want to read you the first section of it. It's really short. It goes like this. The headline was How to Hold People's Attention. And it goes like this. You're trying to communicate something, but it's not connecting. Maybe you're writing or speaking or sharing information. Maybe you're trying to reach the masses or a small group or just an audience of one. Either way, I have a solution. I call it bricks and mortar. And it is the single most important insight I've had as a communicator. This will help you connect with an audience. It'll help you keep them engaged and to be more meaningful to them. And today I'm giving it to you. But to appreciate it, we must first understand why reaching people is so hard and how to overcome it. That's the opening, right? So what I'm doing there is I'm starting with, here is the problem that you're facing. I understand you. I understand why you're reading this. It's because you're looking for some value. And I'm going to tell you what you're ultimately going to get out of the end of this.
Yeah.
Now, if I crunched all of that down and just offered the value in that small amount, like we wouldn't have anything robust and interesting, but I'm signaling to people what it is at the very, very start. And they know where this thing is going. And if that is relevant to them, and I'm just betting that it is, then I've got them for the rest of the journey. That's why to do the structure that you just described.
Yeah. I love it. It actually, like I said, it's really changed the way I write. And it's almost like by having a structure, I actually write faster. I get, you know, again, it was like taking TLDR, but I feel like that was usually something that came, I don't know, I didn't adopt TLDR the same way I've adopted bluff. And there's something about bluff, yeah, bottom line up front, that allows me to feel more comfortable giving a short version to people. So I've enjoyed that. Okay, I want to talk about some tactical advice and sort of like,
yeah,
foundational rules or principles. So maybe if there's any, maybe we've talked about them, but any like overall foundational rules or principles you use with emailing, you can share those. And then also kind of tactical things. So I'm thinking about like, do we use bullet points in email communication? Like, are we supposed to use emojis? Are we supposed, like, what is the tactical advice to get the busy reader to actually read what you're saying and like get their attention? I think most people probably skim emails first. Mm-hmm. So like, it's kind of a two-part question, but let's start with that.
Okay. So some tactical stuff. Number one, your email should only be as long as it needs to be, without question. And if it's gone on too long, it's gone on too long. So be as concise as possible. Operate under the assumption that if what you're saying in this first email is relevant to the person you're emailing, there will be further conversation. There will be other details you can share. So I think that's really, really useful. Subject line, critical. There is not one magic subject line to write, but you want to write something that is going to signal to the person that this is relevant to them. So if there's a connection, use the connection via Scott Greenberg, whatever, random. Or if you know something that they're working on or you have some kind of insight, signal that stuff really upfront. You can apply something. Just one other tactical thing is, you know, that newsletter that I just wrote teased this concept that I have called bricks and mortar. That, like, the idea of bricks and mortar is basically that facts are bricks and context and relevancy to an audience is mortar. So whenever you're writing, whether it's an article or it's a social media post or it's an email, you should always be mindful that you need to constantly turn back to the audience and explain why this is relevant to them. And I have found that in my own writing that, you know, like, the idea is, like, if you just stacked a bunch of bricks without any mortar, it would just fall over. You have to connect it. And the way in which you connect it is how it's relevant to individual people. You could write roughly the same email to 10 different people, but you better be changing something about that email so that the person who's reading it sees that it's relevant to them. If you're applying for a job and you have like a kind of default cover letter, do not send that same default cover letter to everybody. Where is the mortar? Where are these little parts throughout the letter that you're writing? If you tell me something about yourself, now turn to me and tell me how that information is most useful and relevant to me specifically, right? So think about your work in that way. What are the bricks? What are these blocks of information? What's the stuff about you that you're putting in a cover letter? And then what's the mortar? What's the mortar? What's the connection point to your audience? And if you think about it like that, even in an email, you become instantly more relevant.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just your point, I think the reminder of, like, how is this valuable to them? How is it going to be something that makes them stop because you have pointed out their pain point, their problem, you've listed it, or, you know, you've gotten to the point. I have a similar metaphor. I call it glitter and glue. And I'm like, you cannot have a career of all glitter and no glue. Glue is like the less glamorous things, right? Like your workflows, your processes, and glitter might be, you know, you go viral or you have this great newsletter or something. Like, I love those things, but they don't work without kind of these systems and processes in place. And I feel like you're essentially saying the same thing needs to apply when you are writing your emails and thinking about that communication style.
And also, nobody wants a box full of glitter. That is an awful thing.
No, it's a mess.
That's the thing you send your enemies.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I want to get into, you have so many good examples. One of the reasons why I love following your newsletter and following you on LinkedIn is because I feel like you always, I'm a very visual learner. And so you always give lots of examples when you're trying to prove your point. So for anyone who's like me, you guys follow Jason's stuff, it's really good. But can you give some examples of, I mean, you obviously are a boss, like pitching, the best way to like pitch your boss about a new idea or pitching a stakeholder at work about something? What are some tips in sort of formatting it or ways to make sure, you know, it matters to them? Any overall tips?
Okay. Great question. This is example. The first example that springs to mind is not necessarily someone internal. It wasn't somebody at my company pitching me on something, but it was external. But I think that the tenets of it scale anywhere. There was a guy, his name sadly I forget. Let's just call him Tom. Tom is a marketing copywriter, and he saw my website, my personal website, jasonpfeiffer.com, and he emailed me and he told me that he was like, you know, congratulations, you have a great site, but I noticed some missed opportunities to better connect with your audience. This happens to be the work that I do. And I wanted to share with you some solutions. And then what he linked to a Loom video, you know, those kind of,
yes,
those,
I love
screen,
Loom.
Great. Loom is great. Those screen sharing videos. And then he walked me through a bunch of places on my website where I had absolutely missed the mark. And he was right. For example, the first language that you saw on my website, it said champion of change, which is this like language that I had come up with about myself years ago, which I don't use anymore. And he's like, champion of change is about you. That's describing you. But you need to describe the visitor to your site, because if they're on your site, it's because they're looking for something and you need to signal to them that you understand what they want.
Yeah.
Which is so true. And I changed it. It now says change is inevitable. Thriving is up to you. And then he did that in a number of other ways. And what he was doing there, which I thought was so smart, was he wasn't just telling me that he had a good idea or telling me that he has useful skills. He was directly showing it to me.
Yeah.
And in so doing, I could evaluate whether or not this person actually has the things that I need. Now, unfortunately for Tom, the thing is that once he pointed it out, like, I'm a professional writer, I was like, oh yes, I can do a better job. And I just kind of did it myself. But otherwise, I would have hired him and I have recommended him to other people. You should do a version of that, even if you're reaching out internally. don't just say you can do something. Be as clear and sometimes even visual as possible about what it is that needs doing and where the opportunity is. And if you're pitching your boss on something, then what you really need to know is that your boss is primarily concerned with how to make sure that things keep running well. And so if you can offer them a way in which something works better or works faster, then they're going to be interested in that. But you're also going to want to draw that line between, hey, I think that if we do it this way, we'll solve this other problem that I've identified. I would love to be involved in this. Here's an idea that I think could work as a way to do it. Sometimes people email me, freelance writers who want to write for Entrepreneur Magazine will email me and they'll just ask me, how do I write for Entrepreneur? Or could you keep me in mind if you need another writer? And it's like, no, you know what I don't need is I don't need writers. What I need are ideas. The people who send great ideas to the magazine, those are the ones who I engage with if it's a good idea. It's all about showing and signaling and sometimes even creating and displaying actual value in the outreach.
Yeah, I would say the exact same thing like for my podcast. People will send me their whole bio and be like, I want to be on your show.
Yeah,
I don't want to have to think of the idea. The ones I always go for are like, here are 5 episode ideas. Here's what I can talk about. It's laid out in bullets. It's not hard for me to find it. I love, yes, to your point. Like, I need ideas.
Lauren, you just said the magic words, right? You said the magic words, which was that I don't want to think of the idea.
Yeah.
Do the work for them. You should be in the business of doing other people's work. If you're reaching out to somebody, then know what they need and show them how you have basically already done it. At that point, they can't say no because you did such a great job.
Yeah. Jason, thank you. This has been like a masterclass in communication and I love all your examples and you clearly get a lot of bad ones that are really good for episodes like this, which is awesome. All right. Tell people where they can find you, follow your work, read your book, tell them everything.
Yeah. Okay, great. So this is so fun. I really appreciate you having me and sparking this conversation. The number one place I would send you is the newsletter that I told you about. So it's called One Thing Better. Like I said, each week, one way to improve your work and build a career company that you love. You can find that by going to onethingbetter.email. That's a web address. Plug it into your browser, onethingbetter.email. And you know, true to what I said before, if you get an email from me as I send out every Tuesday and you respond to it, I will respond to you. I promise that.
Oh, you're going to get some. Weeks,
yeah.
Yeah.
It might take me a few weeks, but I'm so committed to it. And then past that, you know, I have a book, which is called Build for Tomorrow, which is about how to navigate change in your career. So if you're going through any changes in your career, this book is really built for helping you find new opportunities, helping you establish a more comfortable relationship with change. Again, Build for Tomorrow, audiobook, ebook, hardcover, whatever you want, except for a stone tablet. Haven't done that one yet. And then see you on LinkedIn. I've already had a couple of your listeners reach out to me on LinkedIn before this recording, because you've mentioned me before, which I really am honored. And so you can just look me up on LinkedIn. I'm very active there. And I'll see you in any of those forums. And it's been a pleasure chatting.
Yeah, I'll put all of that in the show notes as well, so you guys can just click to it. But thank you, Jason, again. Really appreciate it. And let's make email a much more pleasant experience for everybody.
that is a noble, noble goal.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Career Contessa podcast. Please take your time to rate, review, and subscribe. Also, the other tool that really helps all of us on the team, but I'll speak for myself specifically, write better emails is Grammarly. They have this new AI tool that allows you to highlight any part of your writing, and then you can ask it to rewrite it so it's more concise or it just sounds better, or, you know, rework your sentence structure. And truly, between following that and the bluff strategy, it's truly changed the way I write for the better. So you can sign up for a free trial of Grammarly via the show notes. Plus, I put all of Jason's links in there as well.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.